Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back, man. Season 2 of All the Smoke.
We got a real special guest.
What's up with your Brody with the virtual handshake?
I'm gonna tell y'all something that I never told nobody.
I want All the Smoke.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke, our first recorded episode of 2021. We got a good one for you today. We got De'Aaron Fox and his agent, Chris Gaston. Appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate y'all having us, man.
Yes, sir.
We were supposed to do this a while ago.
Kept getting put off. So, De'Aaron, let's just get right to it. You're rich as fuck now. Congratulations, man. Hey, 5 years, $163 million extension, man. Congratulations on that. That happened fast. I mean, you're what, third year? This is your third year or fourth year?
Fourth year. It's my fourth.
Man, so congratulations, man. How has that alone, although we're in a pandemic, kind of changed your life? I'm sure you got a lot of people hitting you up and congratulating and asking for shit. Like, how has your life changed since you signed to, you know, man, enough money to take care of your family for the rest of your life?
Actually, nah. I mean, since I've been in the NBA, man, it's been easy. It's really been easy. Like, you know, you hear the stories about people always having people that'll get your number, hit you up, ask you for stuff, but I never really had that problem. Nice. As crazy as it sounds, I never really had that problem.
That's what's up.
But, you know, California taking half of that shit, so.
Hey, that's what people don't understand. Like, right from the jump, whatever number you see, slice that right down the middle. Yeah. And then there's
In California, you slicing more than half of that.
For real.
Yep.
That's what people don't understand. So, Chris, as someone who's trained him and now you're his agent, I mean, this got to be rewarding for you as well, to see, you know, a good friend of yours, a client, a brother, sign a max contract only in his fourth year.
Man, it's a great feeling, but to be honest, it's almost like a sigh of relief, man, because everything that could have happened last year happened, man. I mean, at the beginning of the year, he got hurt. We were stressing over that. Then Corona hit. So we're like, man, is the season going to get complete? Then the bubble happened. Then Vlade Divac got fired, the dude I've been talking to for the past 2 years. So I'm like, man, this is crazy. So we had June circled on our calendar for I don't know how long, and it seemed like the date just kept getting pushed back further and further and further.
Back and back.
Yeah, yeah. So man, when it happened, we was like, man, we celebrated, man. We celebrated. It was, you know, got on my knees and thank God, then we celebrated.
Absolutely. Right. Darren, you also just proposed to your now fiance in September, so engaged man, father, new contract, life is good, it looks like, outside of obviously the pandemic being crazy. But personally, how's everything been? Pandemic, family, how have you been able to manage everything?
Shit, obviously.
Hold on, Chris. Man, he good. Because I'm going to tell you, he ain't tell you today, but I saw him at Turkey Leg Hut. I seen him and wife in the big truck pulling up. Going to Turkey Leg Hut over Thanksgiving holidays, man. So I just saw him. Yeah. He doing real good.
Hey, as bad as 2020 was for a lot of people and for the world, 2020 was a lot of blessings for me. So, shit, I just keep counting my blessings. I wasn't hurt in 2020. Like you said, I got engaged. I signed a contract. I played well in the bubble. We got to play in the bubble. Shit, that's a blessing in itself. Right. So 2020 was great for me and my family.
Absolutely. Yep. Speaking of the bubble, what was that situation like? Going out there, having to be away from your family. Obviously, safety first and foremost, basketball next, and then also carrying on a social justice message, which I know you're prominent with because you were at a march that my brother Deion Taylor threw in Sacramento. You and your fiance now, and I think you're one of your youngest. How was it from a player standpoint? Hooping, but then also having to do so much other stuff while you're isolated from the world.
It's crazy. It was crazy. Obviously, you know, a lot of guys have been doing stuff in their communities for forever now, as far as professional athletes go. But being able to do something like that really touched close, because I'm pretty sure all of us black men have had some type of run-in with police before. Mm-hmm. You know, rather, if we tried to avoid it, you didn't do much, fucking speeding, any type of traffic ticket, something. So just being able to do that was definitely a blessing. And I mean, it's stuff that's going to continue to happen. I mean, I helped my community before, outside of, social justice. But this is stuff that I think, obviously, we like doing it. We'd rather wish we didn't have to do it, but we know that, you know, it's something that kind of comes with it. So for us just to be able to be in position to do that stuff, man, it's a blessing. This is stuff that I kind of like to, not necessarily with that instance, they have fun with it, but, you know, we enjoy kind of being out there and being able to help our community and people that look like us. So for me, man, it's cool just being able to do that type of stuff.
Absolutely. What was it like to actually play in the bubble? You went out there, you know, you had an injury early on. You went out there, you were able to play, you played well. And this is like the new norm now. You know, you kind of have to be isolated. There's no fans. You know, they did what they could do in the bubble. Now you're, you know, back to reality with no fans. What has actual playing been like during this pandemic for you personally?
The bubble, man, the bubble is totally different from what we're doing now. You know, you playing in a it kind of felt like a theater, super dark outside of the court. But they did a real good job with the aesthetics in the bubble. Like, that's one thing. But that experience was terrible. I never want to play. I never want to have to do anything like that again. But I'm glad I could tell my kids and my grandkids that, you know, I was able to play in a bubble. But I'd much rather never have to do that again. But now, I mean, it feel a little bit normal. Hell, we was just in Houston, so, you know, Texas, it's like Corona don't exist.
That's wild. Hey, they're in Atlanta. They're in Atlanta. You can't tell them motherfuckers nothing like Corona.
Hey, you can't
what?
Say nothing. Like you said, like Stack said, he saw us pull up to Turkey Leg. Shit, you would have thought it was normal as hell in Houston right now.
Yeah,
right. Hey, for real. Facts.
But not. Hey, but just playing, man. We played in Houston. They got a couple fans. They have, I think they might, like 4,000 fans. So that was the most normal that it felt. Mm-hmm. But like Dame said, I mean, you're going to see teams getting blown out, getting their heads beat in by teams that they probably shouldn't. And it's different, man. You got to be able to play. Ain't no fans. It's no energy. You got to create your own energy. It's basically like AAU. You used to play in that back gym at 8 o'clock in the morning. You got to come ready to play. Nobody can help you.
Yeah. Right.
For real, for real. So, Chris, your journey, let's talk about your story. obviously, started as a trainer, worked out with Jack a little bit. What was your journey from training people to actually transitioning into a sports agent now?
Man, it was a crazy journey, man. That's why I really wanted to come on this show, man, because Jack was, whether he know it or not, was a big part of my journey, man. Like I said, he was one of the first pros, NBA players that believed in me, man, and I still remember the first time I worked out Jack, man. You know, I'm a real big studier. I break down film. We in the hood. We in my hood in Herm Clark, Houston, Texas. He came to Brentwood Church. He walked in. He got a toothpick in his mouth. You know, he got a toothpick in his mouth.
You lucky it wasn't a blunt.
Yeah, toothpick in his mouth. His shoes unlaced. I'm like, you know, we're going to start right here. We're going to get stretched. One more. He like, nah, what we doing, bro? Like, well, let's get right to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so working with a dude like that, you ain't got time to be stuttering and stop. You got to know what you're doing because, you know, the dude, he's a pro. And so he pushed me, man. And like I said, Jack, that dude, he just give out his heart, man. He was a big part of my journey. Like, one time, these probably stories he don't even remember. He had a camp at that gym. You still got that gym down there, Stat, that facility?
I just sold it, but I know Steven Jackson Academy. Yeah, I just sold it.
He had a camp down there. He like, Gas, you just come run this camp. Man, about 100 kids running around, man, with two coaches.
Two coaches.
Man, we pulled up. I had the Chrysler 300, man. I was so broke, man. The window was bust out. I had a trash bag in my
window, remember.
Man. It started raining. Mm. Jack was like, nah, bro, we got to get your window fixed. I think he called somebody. They pulled up to the gym and got... That's how broke I was, but he gave me that opportunity, and ever since then, you know, it's been, you know, all love.
A lot of shit. When I was young, Chrysler 300 was the whip.
Yeah, that was the dope boy car. That was the dope boy car. You know, I got pulled over plenty of times riding that Chrysler. I'm like, bro, I ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying?
So, what was your transition from working guys out to actually having an opportunity to represent people in this space now?
Well, as I grew in the business, I started seeing, like, man, you know, I know a lot about this off the court. And, you know, working out is only training. That's only an hour out the day. You know, we be with Jack in San Antonio, we might train 30 minutes. The rest of the day, we're kicking it. So I'm realizing, like, man, you know, hey, I'm seeing a lot of older white men who don't care about these kids, who just kind of looking at these kids as, you know, as a is a piece of meat or just a business. And I'm like, man, I'm actually with these guys 24/7, you know. And I was like, man, you know what? I want to get on the business side. So I kind of started just as a consultant manager. And as we got deeper in the business, we were just dealing with a dude that was just bad news, man. Happy Walters. We was like, nah. It was just like, man, we can do this thing on our own. Yeah. We was like, we can do this thing on our own, man.
And figured it out.
Hey, what I recognized about Chris, though, what I recognized about him, what drew me to him was before I met him, I just seen, you know, I always tell you, Matt, I speak three languages, Spanish, English, and body language. Mm-hmm. And I can tell he cared about what he was doing. You know what I mean? And you know what, Matt, if anytime we can help somebody pull somebody up, especially somebody who you know that's trying to help themselves, it was easy for me to get with him. Then, and then working out with him, I wasn't even thinking that I'm doing something for him. I'm just trying to get better because I see he really cares. And two people that care about something, good things come out of it. So I had the same love back for him, man, and I'm just happy to see real brothers like DA and him come together, you know what I'm saying, to build what they built. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, especially youngsters as black men, we go the other way because we think the other way is right. You know what I'm saying? But it's good to see them build something to get to where they at now. You know what I'm saying? I love to see it.
Absolutely,
yep.
Man.
And, Matt, I don't know if you can see the logo, if you recognize the logo. People can't see it, but it's actually a fist, family first. So it's a fist, you know, for empowerment. You know, it's an F1, but it's a fist as well. So we're big about empowering each other, man, like changing the way this industry looks, you know.
Absolutely. So and it's big up to us now. I think more than ever before, it was kind of just you were in a situation that had to be. Now we're able to create our own situations. I think LeBron has been a perfect example, not only of greatness on the court, but the ability to open doors for people he fucks with. You know what I mean? Yep. And put them in position. And like Jack said, without me really knowing you, Chris, the fact that you're trying to get it on your own and didn't just have your hand out, I know as a man, I'm always trying to help those kind of people that are really trying to get it, not just saying, yo, can I get this? Can I get that? But I'm trying to get it on my own. So definitely respect for that.
I'm one of them, Matt. I'm one of the niggas you help.
Yeah, appreciate that, bro. You are, you know, you might, we'll keep it. I'll save that joke. Anyway, man.
That's the first time you ever held a joke back.
Hey, De'Aaron, quick turnaround from the bubble to the season now. You guys started right before Christmas, 72-game season. High expectations for you guys now. You guys got a young, talented team, but you can only say young for so long. You guys are expected to make the playoffs now. So what kind of pressure has that put on you as the leader of your team?
For us, man, it's, at least for me, I can only speak for myself. It's not a lot of pressure. I mean, at the end of the day, I know we're talented. We can go out there and play the way we're supposed to play, and we can win basketball games. And I don't think with that comes pressure. So I think we shocked people the first couple of games this year, but we kind of hit a rock. But like I said, man, it's basketball. You got to turn it around. You could end up losing five games in a row, or you can lose two and then win five in a row.
Right.
And it's all about just mentality, man. It's, you know, both of y'all have been on the right side of winning, and you know how it can be. If something goes wrong, that shit could be a snowball effect. You can mess around. And y'all probably seen teams lose 10 games in a row. So we just can't let that happen.
You're going in your fourth year. Who are some of the – you guys don't really have a veteran-driven team, but some of the older voices of reason in your guys' locker room outside of yourself?
Right now, I mean, we got guys like Glenn Robinson, Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys have been there. You know, Harrison has a championship. He's been to a few finals. Corey Joseph. He's been to a few finals, has a championship too. So they've been through it. They've done all that. I make fun of Corey. I think Corey's 29, and I'm talking to him like he old, because he was in San Antonio when he won, and then when they lost to Miami. So I can always ask those guys questions, man, all the time. You know, I got their number. See them every day, and they're always open. They're always open to it. So, I mean, they're closer to my age than I really think, but they've been in the league for 10 years already.
Right.
But guys, man. Just
Corey's solid, though.
Yeah, super, man. It's crazy. It's crazy how much guys really want to help you in this league. Mm-hmm.
What has travel been like for you? You guys have kind of set up a new schedule where you're playing, you know, the same team, maybe back-to-back, or you'll stay in one area and do a couple games. What is that? You know, that was the, one of the things for me towards the end of my career that I hated. You know, we were always on the road, and I just didn't like that shit. What has travel been like for you guys now that obviously the pandemic has hit?
And that's probably the worst part of how we're doing it right now. You know, seeing the same team in a back-to-back or, hell, now in fucking Denver, you couldn't eat inside of buildings. Like,
oh my God.
You got on a plane, you couldn't eat inside the plane because of the COVID stuff. And it's...
Y'all couldn't eat on the plane either?
No, bro. Like, some... Because, I mean, you know, some states are crazy. 10 times more strict than others.
Right, right.
Whereas I'm thinking... Motherfucker, I just practiced with him, but I can't eat next to him right now. So
that's great.
We're not gonna get into all that. We're not gonna get into that.
That's crazy.
But yeah, it's I wouldn't say it's a shit show. You know, the NBA is doing what they can with it, but that's the most difficult part about the traveling and everything this year.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Question: this is something that, you know, Jack and I were big on during our career. You know, we were known for guys that, you know, we wouldn't flaunt it, but we use cannabis. The NBA is getting to the point now where they're not testing for it. What are your thoughts on cannabis in sports and athletes? You know, we all know, you know, guys in all professional realms use it. What is the thought around the league now that they're starting to relax a little bit on the regulations?
I mean, I don't think they even really care. You know what I mean? Like, so many states, it's legal, man. It's weed. Motherfuckers drink worse than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think, 9 times out of 10, people really just don't care. And y'all know how the program and the league work, man.
Yeah.
Do they really give a fuck? Like, they really don't give a fuck, at all. It's just either don't get caught or, you know what I mean? But a lot of people just use, you know, you can use THC and all this other stuff that is actually healthy for you. It helps you. Mm-hmm. It won't come up on drugs tests because it's not a drug. And I personally don't really care. You know, people mm-hmm. gonna smoke anyways. At least in this league, you ain't really getting suspended for smoking fucking weed.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's new because, like, I said, when me and Jack were in it, you know what I mean? That was the one thing we pushed because, you know, I got in trouble. I think, did we actually get in trouble together our first time in Jack in Golden State in 07?
Yeah, because you had me drinking that liquid shit and you had me thinking it was going to give me the pass, and I failed.
Well, that's because you smoked the whole – I mean, the liquid can only do so much. You smoked the whole motherfucking pound thinking the drink is going to flush your system. You can't blame that part on me. But, no, this is – you know, this is something – you know, De'Aaron, for me, you know, Jack came to the league late 90s. I came in 2002. When you first came to the league, it used to be just one preseason test, and it wasn't talked about. It wasn't promoted. They didn't say go smoke weed. They just didn't test for it. And then around 05, 06, they started 4 random tests. And to me, it was always fucked up because, just like you said, you got guys drinking. You guys got guys popping pills and doing other shit that is obviously detrimental to their health, but then they wanted to penalize us for smoking a joint or smoking a blunt, and it always tripped me out. You know what I mean? So since we both retired, then our brother Al Harrington, shout out Viola, that's kind of been our mission, you know what I mean? To let people know it's not so much about the getting high effect of it, it's the benefits of it and the education of it, the understanding of it, that really, you know, you want your athletes to have the best advantage. And to me, cannabis was always there for me. So I dodged a lot of bullets, quote unquote, throughout my career because I knew that smoking was, I wasn't someone who popped pills and I wasn't a big drinker, so smoking was it for me.
Yeah, and then, you know, like CBD is huge, man. CBD is huge, helping you for recovery and things like that. So, I mean, it's only positives that's come with it. I don't see a single negative in it. And you see the NFL ain't testing for it no more. The NBA isn't testing for it at all this year. They never tested for it during the summer, so I don't know why it mattered during the season. So I think sooner or later, man, all sports are going to stop testing for weed. I don't – there's never really a reason to –
but bro, I'm going to tell you what happened. They was cool on everybody smoking until players start being unprofessional, getting pulled over with it in the car, getting caught in hotels with it, doing stuff like that. So they had to start testing it because it was making the league look bad. It ain't about what you do, it's how you do it. Yeah. And me and Matt are testaments to that. We always did it the right way. We never glorified it. We never did it for people to see. It was always a recovery mechanism for us so we can play the next night because we always played harder than the next person. So a lot of people didn't understand that, but I'm glad the world and all of sports leagues see it now.
And any of you, just cause you're doing it now that it's legal, I mean, like Jack said, there's ways to do it. So if you're on the road smoking, either smoke on your balcony, go in your bathroom, cave yourself in, have some candles. Make sure you leave a tip for the maids because they're coming in there cleaning up the ash on the phone and all that shit up. So
all that.
There's always been ways of doing it, you know what I mean? And lucky, you know, knock on wood, Jack and I were never, you know, in trouble for it. I mean, like I said, I got fined a couple of times and it was on the low. It was never a public thing. But like I said, we just moved a certain way with it. And like Jack said, some guys are moving reckless with it. And anytime you're moving reckless with anything, you know, it's
shit, we high now.
I mean, hell, you see it in the media where, especially in the NFL, where guys that get suspended for now, everybody making fun of them for smoking fucking weed. Like,
yeah,
it's like, come on now. It ain't even, it's really not serious. It's not that serious.
Yeah, absolutely.
So shout out to my mama. She off it right now, too. Shout out to my mama.
She on one?
Oh, she back. She on one now.
Yeah,
on
Judy.
One.
Yeah, Judy. Yeah, Judy Jude.
She in PA?
Yeah, she in PA. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So let's take it back to your roots. You know, came up in New Orleans, went to high school in Texas.
504.
Was basketball always the goal? Did you play other sports? Talk us through growing up and finding your footing in basketball.
So, man, I started with football. Football was my first sport.
I can imagine you're a little fast ass back there.
I was nice at football.
Quarterback?
QB, receiver, safety, corner, whatever, kickoff return, punt, whatever you needed me to do. What Taysom Hill do for the Saints, that's what I did.
Hey, yeah. This motherfucker could throw the ball up to himself. Go catch that motherfucker.
I did all that. But, yeah, I started with football. Then we got to middle school, and I started thinking, man, and I was already in Houston at the time. So I'm like, man, it's hot as shit outside.
Oh, my God.
Say, you know, in middle school, second day of school is tryouts. So I actually have my cleats and everything. Like, yo, I'll still play. Like, this would be one of my last years. I go out there, man, they were sorry as fuck. So, hey, I swear to you, they were trash. Eighth grade didn't win a game. So I'm like, yo, I'm not playing. Like, I'm going to just stick to basketball. And then, shit, from there, it skyrocketed. Hell, Baylor was in my middle school gym in eighth grade.
Damn.
So I'm like, shit, maybe I picked the right sport. But I'll say the reason I really quit playing football is because it was hot as hell.
It was too hot.
And in the gym, we control the temperature. And I was in football. I say fuck that. Football is such a rah 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 sport. Coaches be cussing you out for no reason. They talk just to hear themselves talk. I'm like, yo, I'm not doing this because I'm gonna end up saying something back. And it was it for me in football.
You gotta be from Texas, that Gulf Coast area, to know the heat he's talking about. Man, he ain't talking about when you go outside. Oh yeah, I could wear shorts today. No, this is the heat where you taking 2-3 showers a day, because every time you go outside, you damn near caught a heat stroke. I'm telling you, it's that hot, bro. That water coming off, that heat coming off that Gulf is one of a kind, man.
Hey, you know what you needed back then, Jack, was the Manscaped package with the ball toner and the ball wipes and everything.
Yeah.
Keep you fresh.
Yeah, but it wouldn't work because you would do it, and then as soon as you step outside again, you're going to start sweating again.
You might have to use the ball wipes under your arm and shit, too.
You're going to need that pretty boy miss more than anything to cool y'all,
cool
man. You're going to need that more than anything.
So it's just blowing that nasty-ass heat right back on you, so it wasn't even going to
So highly decorated in high school as far as basketball accolades, played in every game, won MVPs. When it comes down to recruiting, who were your final four or five teams that you really gave consideration to going to school for?
So my final was Kentucky, Louisville, Kansas, LSU, Arizona. Mm. So, funny thing, I knew where, and I feel like a lot of times kids just waste time, you know what I'm saying? We want to take visits, visit these campuses, do all this shit. So, I knew where I was going the whole time. Mm-hmm. So, I'm like, shit, I'm about to go, you know, spend the college's money. That shit ain't on me. Go have a good time. Take my parents, take whoever want to go on these official visits. But the whole time I knew I was going to Kentucky. So,
nice.
Whole month of October, my senior year, I went on a visit to LSU, Kansas. Went to USA, a little USA mini camp in October. Then I went to Louisville, Kentucky. And I said, yo, I'm tired as fuck. Like, I'm tired of all this traveling. This was weekend after weekend for 5 straight weekends. And then I had to go to Arizona, and I canceled the visit. I already knew where I was going. So I canceled that and ended up committing to Kentucky in November.
What was it about Kentucky that had your mind made up from the jump? Was it the one and done pipeline? Was that something you had told yourself you wanted to try to do?
That was definitely the main reason. Second reason, that was actually the only place I, that was the place I knew I was going to play. So Louisville had just got in trouble for the stripper shit. So my mom was like, you ain't going there.
Shit, Jack would have went there if he knew about some stripper shit.
Yeah, I would have signed. I would have signed that day, Matt. I would have signed that day.
Oh, y'all got in trouble for strippers? Tell them Jack's coming to town, baby.
Damn hooping.
But yeah, so my mom was like, you ain't going there. I took a visit to LSU because I wanted to go to Baton Rouge for a weekend. and then Kansas, you know, Bill Self ain't playing no freshman over juniors and seniors because they had Devontae Graham and Frank Mason at the time, who was about to be a senior. So I knew I wasn't going to play there. So Kentucky, it was like Kentucky was the only real choice. I knew I was going to play. As crazy as that sounds when you tell kids to go where you know you're going to play, mm-hmm. Kentucky was the place that I knew I was going to start. I knew I was going to play. And that's what it was, really. I took all them visits just to take them, really.
What was
and
it
I feel like
playing?
90% of kids do it.
Although it was only 1 year, what was that Kentucky experience like in playing for Coach Cal?
Man, it was great, y'all. Like, I love Cal. I still talk to Cal to this day. And, I mean, he really just, man, he lets you rock. That's why he wants guards like John and myself and B. Knight. You know, Tyler Ulis, the way that he coaches is, it's like absolute freedom. We go out there, he'll put X's and O's, but at the end of the day, everything's going to end up in a pick and roll or isolation. That's what the NBA is, too.
Right.
So, you know, when he's able to get those guys, I mean, you find success. Cal couldn't give a damn about, you know, winning college basketball games. You know, if he's getting guys who he knows he can end up developing into NBA players, you automatically going to win 30 games a year
mm-hmm.
just from that alone.
Got those caliber.
So that's,
players,
I mean, that's
right.
What I loved. That's what I loved. Yeah. You came in, you earned everything, he made you work. And shit, at the end of the day, I was a top five pick. Bam and Malik were lottery picks. And that's all you could ask for. We lost in the Elite Eight. Obviously, we was mad as hell, but that wasn't going to make me stay. So we lost by a buzzer beater. Cal brings us in about 20 minutes after. He said, all of y'all are gone. He brought us all in there. He said, yo, y'all are done. Y'all not coming back. If y'all need us, y'all got our numbers. We'll help y'all with whatever, but y'all not playing another college basketball game.
That was you, Bam, and who else? Who was the third?
Malik Monk,
right. Yeah.
Yep. Charlotte I said, Cal, you ain't got to tell me twice, nigga. I wasn't coming back anyways.
So take it back real quick. Before you guys bounce, so you guys, SEC Tournament MVP, you obviously make a run to the Elite Eight. You have a big matchup in the Sweet 16 against my alumni and Lonzo Ball, who was, you know, it was you two at the time as far as point guards go. You go out there and drop 39. What was that
oh
like?
Oh, my God. I remember that game like yesterday.
Yeah, man. Man.
Oh,
so
my God. That was bad.
Real quick, though, because UCLA came into Kentucky earlier that year and beat y'all, right?
Yeah. So they beat us at home. We were number one. Mm-hmm. We were number one team in the country at the time. We were averaging the most points in the country at the time. And they came in and beat us. So... And the fucked up thing about this too is, yo, our road to get to the championship was so hard. Yo, we played UCLA, who was the number 3 seed. They were a top 10 team at 9:45 on a fucking on a Friday night. And then we come back and play North Carolina at like 2:00 on Sunday, who was the number 1 team in the country at the time. So our shit was our, and then we had Wichita State in the second round, who
they were tough.
I think they were like a 13th seed. Shouldn't have been a 13 seed, and we won that game by like 2 or 3. So our road was crazy. And that game, I thought about them coming to, you know, to our crib and beating us. That was the so that team and then North Carolina were the two teams we played twice in that year. And just goes to show, man, it's hard to beat a team twice.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to beat a team twice.
But you know. You was thinking, man, I'm tired of hearing all this ball, that, man. Listen, this mano y mano. Let me go on show up right now because this is going to help me get to where I need to be. You wasn't thinking that?
I mean, of course. That was the only, okay. But you got to think. So, but yeah, for me, though, That was the only NBA guard that I played that year.
Really?
So, like, Lonzo played Markel. Dennis was playing guys like in Duke. He was in ACC, so playing Duke and shit. I didn't really play another NBA guard the whole year. Mm. So that was the only matchup that they could really, I guess, base it off of. I guess if you go with, you can say the Kansas game too, but, I mean, Lonzo's the only starting point guard in the NBA that I played when I was in college.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a big game. Everybody was watching that game.
Well, fast forward.
Yeah, that shit was lit, though. That shit was definitely crazy.
Hell yeah. So fast forward, you and Bam end up signing your extensions, same money, same time. What is it like getting it with one of your brothers? Even though, obviously, you guys play for different teams, but going to school each for a year, coming out, doing your thing, and then, bam, max deals going into your fourth year. That's got to be special.
Man, to be real, all of us, Bam, Donovan, Jason. I've known Jason since I was in fourth grade. So for all of us to be able to do that, man, it's crazy. First person to call me right after the news went out, Donovan FaceTimed me. Then Donovan, Jason, and I, we all have a group. We had a group FaceTime. You know, everybody just kind of celebrating. You know,
what's that chat called? Rich as fuck. What's that chat called?
I might change the name. I might need to change the name to that.
Hey, Young Money.
We got it. We got it. That's the name of the chat room. We got it.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. Just seeing us all kind of come up through middle school, high school together.
I love it.
And they be able to do that, man. It's a blessing for us to all get drafted in the same draft, all lottery picks. Then we all, you know, sign this max extension, which ain't easy. You know what I'm saying?
No, not easy at all.
It takes a lot to do that shit. We all know the work ain't done yet, but, man, it was really a blessing for us. And we talk to each other a lot, very frequently. And, man, I love them dudes. And I'm happy for them just as much as, you know, they're happy for me.
That's right.
So 2017, fifth pick overall by the Sacramento Kings. What was your draft night experience like? And did you think you were going somewhere else?
Nah, so crazy thing is, man, I kind of knew I was going five. Because the way it went, Philly was trading up to one to get Kel. Lonzo was going two, no matter what.
Right.
I knew Boston didn't need a point guard. They actually had Kyrie at the time. So they took Jason. I actually canceled my workout in Phoenix because they had B. Knight, Bled. Tyler Ulis at the time. They had 3 point guards. So I'm like, why the fuck would I go to Phoenix? So I canceled that workout. And then Sack was there. I'm like, man, you know what it'd be like to turn around a franchise like that? I'm like, yeah, that'd be crazy. So I was excited to go there. I didn't work out for Orlando, who was after that, or Chicago. I worked out for 3 teams. The Lakers, which I probably shouldn't have worked out for. That was really a waste of time. Phoenix and then Sack.
And you knew there was there. So I was, you know, up from the Bay Area and then moved to Sac at 9. Was always a huge Laker fan. But once I got there and understood how passionate those fans are about their team, because there ain't shit else out there. Like, as you know now, there ain't much to do out there. Obviously, in COVID, there's nothing to do, but there's not much to do. But the one thing I will say is that fan base is special. And when you're a young player and leave it all out there on the court, they're going to love you. So what has that been like, obviously this year being different, but your first couple years in a process of trying to turn a team around, but what was that fan base and how supportive have they been of you?
Shit, my first year, we were bad. We were real bad. And, yo, we selling out just about every home game.
Every night, though. It didn't matter. That's how much they loved it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You anywhere you go, you're going to have Sac fans. Yo, I'm from Sacramento, man. I love the Kings, you know, everybody will bring up the, obviously, you know, the Chris Webber and the Mike Bibby days and, you know, wishing to get back to that. And I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to bring back to this city. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you really just hear the passion in these guys, man. It's a different type of love for this team. You know, obviously I think our soccer team just went, MLS, but it's Kings, man. It's Kings fans all over.
They really die hard. Mm-hmm. So what's it like being only in your fourth year, but being somewhat of a vet now? You know, you got a young player like Tyrese Haliburton, who's hurt right now, but having younger guys turn to you for advice when you're still a young guy.
Hey, I be feeling oldest. I'm 23. I be feeling old, yo. I feel like I've been in the league forever.
Man,
that's crazy. Right?
Come on. Hey, but
what was you doing at 23, Jack?
I can't even do it. I can't even do it.
I got some miles, man. I've been in this since 19. I got miles on me.
This ain't even the episode to say what I was doing at 23, man. This ain't even it.
I've been in it for a while, and then Tyrese was born in, I think, 2000 or 2001.
I'm crazy.
Like, fuck, like, that really makes me feel, that made me feel a little bit old. I told him today, I'm like, yo, you don't even remember the president before Obama. Like, you was, that's how young you were.
That's insane. What have your thoughts been on him so far, though? Who could possibly be the steal of the draft, man? 6'5", wing, multidimensional, could shoot the ball. What have your thoughts been on him so far?
Hey, he's been great, man. It's, you would have thought he's in his second or third year the way that he'd be out there, that he's out there playing. And for them, for these rookies to not get any summer league, a short training camp, just come in, you got your team, you find out who you was playing with a month before the season start. That's... Like, you know what I'm saying? That's a lot of adversity that you really got to go, that you really got to overcome. And, man, his first game in the league, he played an overtime game in Denver. And, you know, it's tough to play in Denver. And he really stepped up.
Yeah, you can't breathe.
And he really showed that he's built for this. And he really can, man. He understands the game so well. He runs pick and roll extremely well. He's a good shooter. Like you said, he does everything extremely well for us. And, I mean, we're missing him right now.
Now follow me with this, because I'm not trying to be messy, but I just want to get your thoughts. Obviously, with recently the Marvin Bagley father situation, and then your dad says something. But yo, when I read your response to what had been said, that I really couldn't stop laughing for like three straight. You just said Jesus Christ with the exclamation, like what the fuck. Now we're in a new age, obviously, where, you know, I commend any fathers that have their kids back, and I understand the whole thing, but not, I don't think dads, because they're new to the social media game, understanding the power they have at the palm of their hands. So they're tweeting things that they may tell your mom or your family, or not even your family, but other, you know, Marvin's dad doing what he does. How does that, how do you guys keep that energy out of the locker room and keep you guys on the same page? Because the parents think they're just speaking, but they're not realizing that what they're saying is going to go around the world and on every news station and get all kinds of coverage.
Yeah, man, I saw it 15 minutes after the tweet went up.
Jack, you see his response? He just said, Jesus Christ, he's like, what the fuck is going on?
Because, yo, I'm getting tagged and shit. I'm like, yo, what's going on? So I see it on Twitter in the morning, FaceTime. I was actually on FaceTime with my fiance at the time. And I see that shit. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? I'm like, yo, now I'm about to be pulled in some shit that I didn't want to be involved in.
Right.
And I like, so I text my dad, and then I text the group with my dad, mom, and brother. And I'm like, yo, like, y'all can't do this shit. Because regardless of anything y'all say, motherfuckers not going to ask y'all. They going to ask me about it.
Right.
And I'm like, yo, like, y'all got to start thinking about me before y'all put anything on the internet.
Exactly.
And the thing is, like, I know my pops. You know, Mississippi born and raised. Mm-hmm. The second he probably saw that tweet, he like, let me tweet this shit. I know he did. He ain't think twice about it.
Right.
But for your question, like, with the locker room, we said something about it, but, like, nobody's really worried about it, to be honest.
Parents,
it ain't. Nobody's thinking about that at all. Like, and people think, you know, I'm trying to do like, I'm just trying to, you know, say it to the media. But like, I told my people, like, yo, no one, it's fucking tweets. Nobody give a fuck about that shit. Like,
Nobody thinks about that shit.
We had a practice. We had a game. Nobody's thinking about that shit. Obviously, we got our ass whooped yesterday, but we just got our ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? Fucking Kelly ain't made it. And me and Kelly played together. We played AAU together, but Kelly was fucking 1 for 40, and he hits 4 threes against us. You know what I mean? Like, it was their night, and they played better than us. But as far as that tweet, the Twitter stuff goes, man, nobody was worried about that.
There's no room for none of that in the locker room, though. There's no room for none of that. And then again, Matt, you know I'm gonna say this, shit. If Marvin didn't throw hands with Dame, shit, ain't nobody better not throw hands. Everything better be cool in that locker room.
Well, I think it's also, you know, like a teaching moment, you know, for parents, you know what I mean? Well, he had to pull up on his mom, dad, and brother. Like, you have to realize, you know, although you may feel this way, You know what I mean? It's me that you have to think about, because your name won't be in the paper. They'll say, you know, obviously De'Aaron's dad, but it's De'Aaron that's in the spotlight, you know, and it's similar to criticism that LeVar is taking, because he's speaking on behalf of his sons, and his sons are like, yo, what the fuck? You know, people are thinking this is me, but it's not me. And so it's like you said, it's a new age, and I think this is going to become the new norm. And I'm glad you guys were able to put the fire out, because you know, you got to be able to block the good and the bad out in that locker room. Only the motherfuckers. I saw Luke Walton talk about it. I played with Luke. And, I mean, I'm old school, so I know the deal. All the outside noise. This nigga's crazy.
This sorry ass.
This dude is crazy.
Hey, that ain't even Bagley M.O., though. Like, he a laid-back cat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't even him. Like, that's the little homie. Like, he ain't even no, you know what I'm saying, conversational guy like that. You know what I'm saying? So I knew... You know what I'm saying? It was all going to go away. But just the fact that people on the outside, like y'all say, they got to pay attention to stuff like that, because it can affect a locker room, not knowing.
Yeah, and for us, man, if we would have won that game, shit would have been over. Nobody would have talked about it no more, most likely. But
right,
we got blown out, and everybody think the chemistry fucked up. And now it's just a whole other thing that you got to listen to.
Only way to write that ship is to win. But what was it like catching Steph's on a motherfucking tear right now? People been talking crazy to him, and your team was one of the teams that had to pay the consequences for it. What is it like playing? I mean, you could be the fastest dude in the NBA from end to end, but I played with Steph and playing against Steph. His they say he runs almost 3 miles a game off just his movement alone. What was it like having to chase his little ass around and him drop 30 on you guys?
Guarding him is like hell. Cause yo,
he said, like hell.
Yo, because they don't even really, I mean, they run a few plays, but if Steph don't have the ball, the person who got the ball looking for Steph, if Steph don't have the ball, and niggas who don't have the ball looking to screen for Steph, he don't stop at
ever.
All.
Ever.
And if he start walking, you know he about to take off.
You know you're in trouble.
Well, and I then saw catching him right after 60.
Oof.
I was like, yo, don't let that shit happen to us.
But I saw
the clothesline this nigga if he start doing
hey,
that shit.
Hey, Steph know how I feel. I was on the Warriors when Brandon Jennings gave him 55. Ooh. So he know how I feel too.
Yeah, but that 55 was different from what he be doing, man.
His shit was sick. His movement
You know, Steph always, every game he a threat to get 50 though. Every game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nah, for real.
Now more than ever, because the rest of his weapons aren't really – but I seen one play that was funny, and I knew it was coming too, because you picked him up maybe right at half court, and he threw the ball to Draymond on the block, and for 1 second you looked away, and he cut back door and got you on the back door cut, and it just shows like he is always live on everything. And that's the hardest thing is – the team that he has right now still doesn't know how to play with them. So you got a chance to play with them, you know, when they won a championship in 17 and you had to chase him around with other stars on the court. And like you said, when you're not one of those main three scorers, Clay, KD, or Steph, you're looking to always screen for those guys no matter what. And if you have the ball, you're looking for them motherfuckers. So to have to guard them is a nightmare.
Shit, man, playing them 2 years ago when they had KD, hey, that's the worst feeling ever. That was the worst shit ever. Because so one of the years we lost to them, because, you know, we played them four times. So we lost to them four times by a total of 10.
Yeah, you guys played them well.
Going into them games, man, it's like, yo, these niggas just won a championship, yo. Like you're getting, obviously you're trying to play your best. If you play your best against that team, they still have to play bad for you to really win that game.
Real bad, right?
And, yo, the way them dudes were in the clutch, obviously having Clay, Steph, and KD, man, it was – we're playing great. And it felt like it was impossible to beat them.
It's crazy, just especially try to go shot for shot with them because they had so many shot makers.
You can't do that. You got to get steals and try to turn them over.
As a young player coming into the game, obviously everyone is a competitor now, but who were some of the older point guards you looked up to or possibly modeled your game after when you were first coming into the league?
So when I first got in the league, guys that I really watched was like Russ, Kai, CP. Obviously, you know, they all played a game extremely different from each other, but they all had different ways of really affecting the game. You know, Russ with the way he coming at you. You know what I mean? He going to come at you 1,000 miles per hour for 40 minutes, every second that he out there, he going hard. CP, just the way he really manipulate the game. You know, he's the king of pick and roll, even at 35 years old. And then Kai, just the way that he can come at you with different ways, with pull-ups, put you, drop you, get to the basket, the way he can finish under the rim. You know, so those are really three guys that I really tried to study when I first got in the league.
Well, you came into a league that's driven by guards now. Who are some of the guys you look forward to? I mean, obviously every night is someone new, but who are some of the guys like, okay, got like tonight we got Dame, tonight we got Steph. Who are some of the guys you're like, okay, I got to go tonight?
All of them.
And this, yeah, and this league, and A, right now, every game.
Yes.
We play Chicago next. And even a kid like Kobe White can get 30. You know what I mean?
No question.
And after that, we got Toronto with Kyle and Fred. Yeah. It's an every night thing trying to play this position. If you ain't ready, you gonna get your head cracked open trying to play out here.
Well, that's how it was. That's how it was with us with wings. When me and Jack were coming in, it was a wing driven league. Your twos and threes were your go to guys. Now it's more point guards. But that's what I'm saying. Every night for us, it was KD, Melo, D Wade, Kobe, Ginobili,
T Mac,
Jack, yes. Artest. Like you name it. Every night you had Paul Pierce. Every night had your handfuls. It was, and that was as a defensive player, I loved it. So I know that with it being such a heavy point guard driven league, every night is just, it's time to go.
Yeah, and then for us, man, like, you know, a lot of times you'll put your best defender. So a lot of times I get like the long athletic wing guy guarding me. So it's different because, you know, I'm actually guarding the guards. You know, I'm guarding the Treys and Dames and Stephs and Kyries, and I'm staying on those guys. So it's a lot. It's a lot to do that and then still, you know, pick it up on offense while trying to stop these guys.
Right.
It should take a lot.
Now, people that go both ends, you know, that's definitely an unsung thing because some guys don't go both ends. So to be able to guard someone on the other end and then average 20, 25 a night, that shit ain't no easy feat.
That's why you get the big bucks, little fella. That's why you get the big bucks.
talk to us about Kobe Bryant. You wear his shoes, went to a skill camp. What did Kobe mean to you?
Man, Kobe was big. And crazy thing is, we one night in Portland, I was able to sit with Kobe in a library for 3 hours. It was me, him, and maybe four other people. And I was able to sit with him for about 3-4 hours, man. From like, it was probably 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Just sitting in there talking, man. And that's something that kind of, I mean, it sat with me most, obviously, when he passed away, because this is something that literally a year and a half before it happened, I was able to have a sit down with Kobe that even, I actually didn't even tell my brother about it. And he's a big Kobe fan, but like, that's something that I'm extremely, extremely grateful for. You know what I mean? Everybody don't get that. You know, some people might get a picture or autograph, one little conversation, just being able to be there after Kobe was done. It was going into my second year and man, that's something I always think about. You know, what if that didn't happen? You know, then now obviously the Kobe thing hit me even harder because I was able to actually have this personal interaction with him. And,
right.
I mean, he was big. You know, what he did for the game, what he did while he was playing. You know, I mean, you know, that motherfucker makes tough shots. Mm. And he got the green light to shoot 50 of them. Mm-hmm. So it's a different animal when somebody got a green light that light.
He don't care if he missed 49 in a row. He's still going to shoot that 50.
He's going to keep shooting. And that's the thing about a lot of guys now, like Steph. It's when somebody can shoot that many times and it don't matter,
it's hard. It
makes
guard
it 10 times harder to guard.
Absolutely.
But yeah, hey, Matt, Kobe was big.
Hey, I remember seeing all on Christmas they were showing all those holiday games. Man, nobody wanted problems with Kobe, man.
No.
Nobody wanted problems with Kobe on no holiday game.
Mm-mm.
Everybody was going home.
The bigger the stage, the better he was. He thrived on those. He thrived on those. But he was also someone that you said you got, you know, 3-4 hour conversation. He was someone that it was weird. Like him and John Wooden, and the handful of time I talked to Nipsey, it always seemed like no matter what we were talking about, you were learning something. Did you give that feeling when you had that conversation with Cole, whether you were talking about sports or life or business or family? I always felt like I was just sitting there soaking up game.
Yeah, man. He was a teacher. You know what I mean? Like he was a student first when he was coming up, and then he became a teacher. And he's like you said, like, man, when he had the camp, you know what I'm saying? That's from his own. He just wants to teach guys that are in the NBA right now.
And that's rare to think about, like, a superstar that has this personal invite camp that wants to drop game to the next generation. Like, that doesn't normally happen.
Yeah, so, like, that's why it was big for all the young guys that was there. And, like I said, that's why Kobe has such an impact on the game today.
Mm-hmm. All right, man, quick hitters. We're at the end of the conversation, so we're going to give you a couple quick hitters. First thing to come to mind, let us know. So, top five artists you wouldn't mind being name dropped by.
Top five artists. You got to go. All right, I'm from New Orleans.
Come on now.
You know that. So, Lil Wayne. You already know. That's number one. I'll go Wayne, Nicki, because the Young Money.
The connection.
Drake. Who wouldn't want to be name dropped by Drake right now?
Right.
We talking about right now?
Or no, just in general. Just whoever, period. Now, whatever.
Actually, I'll go Jay-Z, and the one more. Probably Jeezy. I love Jeezy. I really fuck with Jeezy.
Okay.
Of course. Classic.
So that'd be my
hell
five.
Yeah. There you go.
Wayne was easy. Wayne was the easiest one.
Wayne was easy.
Yeah, that's an easy one. That's an easy one for me.
Okay. I hear that you big in the gaming world and live streaming your game. I am too. I play COD a lot. What other games are you playing? You know, that you're currently playing besides COD?
I'll be on 2K, be on the park. Gets toxic as fuck. I played Spider-Man for a little bit. I was gonna get into Assassin's Creed, just little story mode games. Cause the online, like, I'm on either 2K or COD. That's what I play online. Everything else, really, just little role playing games or GTA.
Jack thinks he's nice to Call of Duty.
I gotta say,
we ended our first tournament about 2 weeks ago and we won our first tournament, so that's on our way.
Okay. Yeah, talk that shit then.
We on
like
our way.
Gaming, like a little gaming league or what?
Yeah, was it actually in the COD tournament? 20 teams.
That's tough. Warzone?
Yeah, Warzone.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you another question though. If you had to pick five retired players for your 2K team, who would they be?
All time.
Like, can these niggas play the game or what?
Nah, who would be on your team?
Oh, who would I pick? Oh, bad. Retired players. Jordan.
Yes.
AI.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Magic.
Nice. Ooh. Oh, my God. They won already.
I'm going KG. That's my all-time favorite player.
That's what's up.
And I go Shaq.
Ooh. Oh, man. Hands down. Damn. Good squad.
Yeah. I was going to throw some shooters in there, but the way the game was, shit, we're going to punish people in the paint.
We're going to get that money.
That's still how you win. You in the playoffs, you got to punish people.
Straight up. Top five point guards, in your opinion, in the history of the game.
Whew, it's real subjective, but we're going to go Magic. You got to throw Steph in there. I don't care what nobody says. You got to throw Steph in there now.
Yeah, thank you.
So Magic, Steph. See, a lot of people going to be left out. We'll go Isaiah, CP, and one more. Isaiah, CP, and it's a lot of guys. Damn. If I'm going to just throw one more, I'll go top five.
Tough, huh?
Man. So what? I went Magic, Steph, CP, Isaiah.
Yep. One more.
And I'll go I'll really go Chauncey.
Chauncey Billups.
I like that. Big shot.
I think in his prom, and then the way he defended, like, him and Isaiah, I'm gonna throw them defenders in there. Even CP. I mean, CP's been on multiple all defensive teams.
Yep. Both sides of the ball. And Chauncey, big shot. Clutch.
Yeah,
shot,
so I'm gonna go with those five.
Yep. Who could possibly beat you baseline to baseline with the dribble?
Anybody?
With the dribble. I think you still, John, AI, Prime TP, D-Rose.
Tony Parker. Hey, I hold up. If you let Tony Parker put the ball in his right hand, ain't nobody beat him. I'm sorry. Hey. I'm sorry. if he got to go to the left, he gonna knock everybody else down on the court. But if he put it in his right hand, can't nobody. He's the fastest thing on earth.
For you to even say that,
I definitely say those four. I think I said four.
Mm-hmm. Fast as a motherfucker. if you had to do an outside game, you plus four people, who you taking to the park with you for a pickup game?
Ooh. Hey, I'm taking Kai, KD. Outside game. Shit, if I could take Kobe, I'm taking Kobe. Mm-hmm. These are just people who can hoop anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Hey, I'm going to say this. I'll take Will Barton, Philly guy.
You know, yeah, we'll get buckets anywhere.
We'll get to it.
I'll take someone like AD. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? At least have a little big out there do something. But them first ones, Kai, KD, Will Barton. Cole. I mean, them dudes, you know that can hoop at the park. You know buckets. they're gonna get you buckets at the park.
I love it. Go ahead, Jack.
Five dinner guests, alive or deceased.
Five dinner guests. All athletes? All basketball players?
No. Anybody you look up to?
Who's
anybody
coming to your dinner? Who you coming to your dinner table?
Shit. I'll go Kevin Hart. Nice. It's funny. I gotta have laughs. Shit. I'm gonna pick one of y'all. Whichever one of y'all trying to come.
Both of us. We both pulling up.
Yeah. We can just count as one.
Yeah, we kind of.
I'm gonna pull up both of y'all, so that's one. That's two.
That's dope.
So y'all,
that's
Kevin
the first
Hart,
time we've been. That's dope.
Appreciate it.
KG.
Oh.
I would go somebody like either Malcolm X.
Mm. Yes.
And
nice.
Then, I would go like an artist, like Pac, Hove.
Oh.
You know, someone like that. That's so dope. We got the comedian. Y'all two have comedians because you niggas is funny. Then you
got
KG.
The weed too.
I'll say Hov and then me. So
that's fire.
Hell
that's
yeah.
Fire.
That's what's up. Jack, go ahead and finish this. This is your question. So go ahead and finish it.
Okay. Before you answer this question, your answer, you have to help us with your answer. Did you get what I said?
I got to help y'all with my answer?
Yeah. Before I ask you this question, whatever your answer is going to be, you have to help us with your answer.
You'll make sense now. Ask the question.
I'm just Hershey. Understand that before I ask the question.
Yep.
All right. This is the question. Who would you like to see on All the Smoke?
Ah, okay, okay. I'm trying to get y'all a nigga that's gonna really like, you know what I'm saying? Not sugarcoat nothing. Who would I want to see on All the Smoke? I'll say either JT, Justin. I mean Jason. Or Bam.
We got JT.
We had JT. We had JT. He blessed us too.
Yeah, help us get Bam then.
Yeah, I got you with Bam.
Hey, shout out to JT too. JT sent me a shirt that he wore to the playoffs with a picture of me in my Clippers jersey with George Floyd name on the back, man, to show love to George Floyd. So shout out JT.
I for sure remember that.
Yeah, I just got it last week, so appreciate it, bro.
Word, shout out. Well, that's a wrap, man. Get. Thank you, De'Aaron, for your time, man. Good luck the rest of the way.
The future.
Chris, we appreciate your time as well. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube, the iHeart Black Effects Network. We'll catch y'all next week.
Peace. This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.